Year of God, 892. 1. Erastor Bay, Princedom of Emerald. Bright morning sunlight glittered on the crossed golden scepters of the green banner of the Church of God Awaiting. The twin-masted courier ship, flying that wind-starched banner as she scudded along on the brisk breeze, was little more than 70 feet long, built for speed rather than endurance, or even sea-keeping and stability. Her crew of 60 was small for any galley, even one as diminutive as she was, but her slender, lightly constructed hull was well-suited for rowing. Her lateen sails drove her in a rapid flurry of foam as she went slicing across the brilliant sun-splintered water and foaming white horses of the 30-mile-wide passage between Callie's Island and the northeastern shore of Erastor Bay. Father Ross Sowell, the small fleet vessel's commander, stood on his tiny quarterdeck, hands clasped behind him, and concentrated on looking confident while he gazed up at the seabirds and wyverns hovering against the painfully blue sky. It was harder than it ought to have been to maintain the outward assurance, it would never have done to call it arrogance, proper to the master of one of Mother Church's couriers, and Sowell didn't much care for the reason he found it so. The temple's messengers, whether landbound or afloat, enjoyed absolute priority and freedom of passage. They carried God's own messages and commands, with all the authority of the archangels themselves, and no mortal had the temerity to challenge their passage wherever God or his church might send them. That had been true literally since the creation, and no one had ever dared to dispute it. Unfortunately, Sowell was no longer certain the centuries-old inviolability of Mother Church's messengers continued to hold true. The thought was disturbing in more ways than one, most immediately because of the potential consequences for his own current mission. In the long run, because the failure of that inviolability was unthinkable. Defiance of the authority of God's church could only have one consequence for the souls of the defiers, and if their example led others into the same sin. Sowell pushed that thought aside once more, telling himself, insisting to himself, that whatever madness had infected the kingdom of Karis, God would never permit it to spread beyond Karis's borders. The universal authority of Mother Church was the linchpin not simply of the world in which he lived, but of God's very plan for man's salvation. If that authority were challenged, if it failed, the consequences would be unthinkable. Shan Wei, lost and damned mother of evil, must be licking her fangs at the very possibility in the dark, dank corner of hell to which the Archangel Langhorne had consigned her for her sins. Even now, she must be testing the bars, trying the strength of her chains, as she tasted the overweening, sinful pride of those who sought to set their own fallible judgment in place of God's. Langhorne himself had locked that gate behind her with all the authority of eternity, but man had free will. Even now he could turn the key in that lock if he so chose, and if he did... Damn those Carisians, he thought grimly. Don't they even realize what door they're opening? Don't they care? Don't... His jaw tightened, and he forced himself to relax his shoulders and draw a deep, cleansing breath. It didn't help very much. His instructions from Bishop Executor Thomas had been abundantly clear. Sowell was to deliver the Bishop Executor's dispatches to Bishop Executor Willis in Erastor at all costs. That phrase, at all costs, had never before been part of Sowell's orders. There'd never been any need for it, but there was now, and "Deck there!" the shout came down from the crow's nest. "Deck there! 3 sail on the port bow!"